Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Barkham Church. Thanks for coming along. It really is good to see you. It's great to be together like this on another Sunday. We're beginning a new series today and looking at church and why church is such a big deal. Why bother with church? And Julian, our minister, will be preaching the first instalment of that a little bit later on. And we trust that that will be a great blessing to those of us who are able to be here in the building today and those listening in at home. It is very good to be together. Usual COVID rules, I'm sure most of you are familiar with these by now, so please do stay in your seats throughout the service unless there's a particularly urgent reason why you need to move. Do keep masks on, please, unless you're exempt from having to wear one or up here behind this Perspex screen. And please don't forget that, unfortunately, we can't sing in church at the moment. So we'll have a couple of songs that we'll listen to. Feel free to hum away to them behind your masks. But I'm afraid there can be no singing, unfortunately. Just a couple of notices, actually, about church life as well before we begin the service properly. So small groups are resuming this week remotely by Zoom. So if you're in one of those, do look out for details about that. If you're interested in joining a small group, you're not in one, do speak to Julian or me afterwards, or be in touch with us in the next couple of days. We'd love to help you get into a group if that's something you'd like. And then just the other thing to say is you heard the news about John Wall this last week, how John died and is now home with the Lord Jesus. We're having his funeral here on Thursday afternoon, 2 o'clock on Thursday afternoon this week ahead. And there are a number of spaces available at that for people in the church family. So if that's something you'd like to come along to, do just let me know as well. We need to keep a careful track of numbers for that. But if that's something you'd be interested in, please do speak to me too. I'm going to read a couple of verses from Psalm 103, a psalm we often go to in our Sunday services. And it begins like this: "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." The Bible is gloriously realistic. It tells us that worshipping God, praising him, is the greatest thing we can do. It's the greatest privilege we have as people made by him. But it recognizes that that praise and that worship doesn't always come naturally, and that there are times when we have to speak to ourselves to prompt us to get on with it. And maybe the last few days, all the news about the coronavirus has made this another one of those times where we need to remind ourselves to praise him. But it is also very clear that actually there are so many reasons always to praise him. He's so good to us in so many ways. And that is the theme of the first song that we're going to listen to now. The words are there on the service sheet. Do follow them closely as we listen to this one now.
Thank you.
first line of that second verse, you're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Or, as Psalm 103 goes on a little later, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. That's where the songwriters got those words from. It is God's favourite way of describing himself. It's the one he uses most often in the Bible. Compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. And that is our great hope as we come now to pray this prayer of confession together, as we admit the sins that we've committed and ask for his forgiveness and his help for the future. This is the kind of God we're turning to now. Compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Let's pray together as we use these words. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to change what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. Let's continue in prayer for a moment. Father, thank you for your wonderful character, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Thank you that you tell us that that means you won't always accuse or harbour your anger forever. You don't treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. We praise you for the forgiveness that we find in the Lord Jesus. We ask in his name. Amen. Well, our new series, I mentioned, is focusing on the church, and that's the focus of this psalm that we're going to say together now, Psalm 48. Mount Zion, you'll see, mentioned there in verse 2 of the psalm. That's the Bible's name for the city of God, Jerusalem, the place where his people gathered together to meet with him, to be met with by the Lord. All things that go on as we gather like this, as church today, I wonder, how would you describe the church? What kind of adjectives would you use? What kind of pictures would you use to describe it? Well, that's a good question, but a better question is, how would God describe the church? How does he describe the sorts of things that are going on as his people do that? And we're going to see as we read this psalm together now, all kinds of wonderful, surprising, delightful ways in which God describes his people, his church. I'm going to invite us to stand together. I have two opportunities in our service today to stand. Do stand, stretch your legs, get the blood flowing. And as we're stood, let's enjoy saying Psalm 48 together. So we say, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise in the city of our God, his holy mountain. Beautiful in its loftiness, the joy of the whole earth. Like the heights of Zaphon is Mount Zion, the city of the great king. God is in her citadels. He has shown himself to be her fortress. When the kings joined forces, when they advanced together, they saw her and were astounded. They fled in terror. Trembling seized them there. Pain like that of a woman in labor. You destroyed them like ships of Tarshish, shattered by an east wind. As we have heard, so we have seen in the city of the Lord Almighty, in the city of our God. God makes her secure forever. Within your temple, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love. Like your name, O God, your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Mount Zion rejoices. The villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments. Walk about Zion, go round her, count her towers, consider well her ramparts, view her citadels, that you may tell of them to the next generation. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end. Amen. Do grab a seat. We're going to pray now, and Michael is going to lead us as we do that. I'm going to begin with a prayer for a new year written by the great evangelist Billy Graham. Thankful to Donald and Mary for pointing us to this prayer. Our Father and our God, as we stand at the beginning of this new year, we confess our need of your presence and your guidance as we face the future. We each have our hopes and expectations for the year that is ahead of us. But you alone know what it holds for us, and only you can give us the strength and the wisdom we will need to meet its challenges. So help us to humbly put our hands into your hand, and to trust you, and to seek your will for our lives during this coming year. In the midst of life's uncertainties in the days ahead, assure us of the certainty of your unchanging love. In the midst of life's inevitable disappointments and heartaches, help us to turn to you for the stability and comfort we need. In the midst of life's temptations and the pull of our stubborn self-will, help us not to lose our way, but to have the courage to do what is right in your sight, regardless of the cost. And in the midst of our daily preoccupations and pursuits, open our eyes to the sorrows and injustices of our hurting world, and help us to respond with compassion and sacrifice to those who are friendless and in need. We pray for our nation and its leaders during these difficult times, and for all those who are seeking to bring peace and justice to our dangerous and troubled world. We ask all this in the name of our Lord and Saviour, who by his death and resurrection has given us hope both for this world and the world to come. Amen. Amen. Lord, we pray for our country in the grip of this rampaging pandemic, causing such disruption, distress, and death on a scale we have not known before. We know that you are perfect in righteousness, and we deserve only your judgment and wrath, both individually and as a nation, for all the ways and times when we have rejected your authority, rejected your laws, and even rejected the Saviour you sent us. Yet we know that you are a God of mercy and such tender compassion. So we pray that you will at this time have mercy on our nation and turn our hearts to you, and withdraw this devastating virus. Please guide our government and officials in making wise decisions and implementing them effectively. Please help people to understand the risks and to act wisely, being willing to set aside their personal agendas for the sake of others. Thank you that the vaccination program is underway. We pray that this will be rolled out quickly and bring good protection from the virus and all its variants. Please sustain all those working so hard on this program and those working to care for the sick and the vulnerable. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for the work of Open Doors in supporting persecuted Christians around the world. As they launch their 2021 World Watch List this week, we pray that many of our MPs will attend the launch and so come to recognise how appallingly many of Jesus' followers are treated in many countries of the world today. May those MPs be encouraged to use their influence to speak up for Christians in those countries. And with it being a virtual event this year, we pray that many Christians in our country will watch and be inspired to support the work of Open Doors and to be persistent in prayer for the situations that Open Doors highlights in their prayer resources. Please help us too to keep praying for our persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, we pray for those in our church family in special need.
We are saddened at the news of John Wall's death earlier this week, knowing the pain of loss that this brings to Jean and their children, Matthew and Helen. But we do give you great thanks for John's life, for him being a good and faithful servant. Thank you for all his years of labour with Jean to bring the gospel to young people in Wokingham, and for his faithful service and cheerful witness in our church family here. Thank you that he is now able to share his master's happiness. Please comfort Jean in her grief and enable her to trust in you in her loss. And may Matthew, Helen, and Ella also come to know that true comfort of the gospel. We thank you that Val Booker is making progress in her recovery in hospital following her recent fall and is feeling well cared for there. We pray that medical and social services will be able to provide a good package of care for when Val comes out of hospital. Please help Val to hold on to you, nurturing her faith through the scriptures and in prayer. And Father, we thank you that Annie is now home with baby Nina. Please bless Tom and Annie as they take on the great privilege of parenthood and as they make all the adjustments necessary to provide for Nina. May they take great delight in your precious gift of this new life and serve one another well in working together as parents and in loving each other as husband and wife. We ask this and all our prayers in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
In a moment, we're going to turn to God's word together. Fiona will come and bring our reading, and then Julian will come and preach. But first, we're going to declare our faith in the God whose voice we're about to hear, the God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So I'm going to invite everyone to stand again. Let's stand. And if you're trusting him, if you believe in this God, do join me in saying these words now. Let's stand and say them together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Do grab a seat, and we'll have our reading, and then Julian will come and preach.
The reading is from Romans 12, reading from the first verse. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality.
Right, well, let's pray. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. Our Father, we thank you that as we turn to your word, as we think of you and your work in our lives, in our church, that we know that you have been merciful to us. And we pray, Lord, you'd be merciful to us this morning, that you would speak to us and teach us and shape us and grow us in ways that are good for us and are a blessing to us and bring praise to your name. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, why bother with church? Why bother with church? That's a question that I guess many people in our culture would ask today. Many have no belief in God, can't see the point. There are also lots of people who say, well, actually, they do believe in God, or that they're spiritual people, but they're put off by organized religion. They want church. I imagine you've come across both of those. But the reason we're having this series is because it's also a question often asked by Christians. Why bother with church? By which I mean, why bother with gathering together on a Sunday? Now, of course, at the moment, we're not all able to do that as we would want to because of the pandemic. Some of us really can't come to church and shouldn't come at the moment. Others are choosing not to, and we fully respect that. But even for those of us who are here, those of you listening to me live, there's much that we're just not able to do at the moment. We can't do many of the things the Bible tells us to do when we gather. Feels like a strange time to think about meeting together when it's all not as it should be. But actually, as we reflected on this, we felt actually this is a good time to think about church. You know how often you don't really appreciate something until you have to live without it. Well, maybe this time when we can't come, or maybe we can't do church as we would want to, well, that'll help us to appreciate what church should be and love it all the more when we can meet together. And so what we wanted to do is to look again at what the Bible says about church and what is going on when we meet, so that we would see church as God sees it. Because if we see church as God sees it, whether or not we're able to gather at the moment, we won't simply sort of bother with church, we'll be devoted to church. We'll see what a wonderful thing it is. Well, this week we're looking at this passage in Romans 12, but the main point really is summed up in one verse, verse 5, but I'm going to start reading from verse 4. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Verse 5 is our text for today. It's the one that I want us to go away sort of with it ringing in our ears. In Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So do you hear what Paul is saying? If we're Christians, we are united as one body. I say if we are Christians because of those opening words Paul uses, in Christ. That phrase is Paul's favourite way of describing Christians. That is, people who've put their faith in Jesus and in his death to save them. It's a phrase that speaks of the way that Christians are spiritually united to Jesus in such a way that all the blessings of salvation come to them. So we died with him. Our sins have been dealt with. We've been raised with him. We've been given new life, and one day we'll be raised physically. We are blessed in Christ. We're loved in Christ. If you're a Christian, you're in Christ. We're united with him, and because of that, we're united with one another. In Christ, we, though many, form one body. So that's our main point for today. We're all members of one body, and I really want us to think about what that means for us. It's something we talk about fairly often, I guess, being the body of Christ, familiar with that kind of language. But how often do we really think about what that means? I mean, just think about that metaphor, that picture that Paul's using. Not just here, he loves using it. It's in 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4. One of the main ways that Paul, that God wants us to think about church. If we don't think of ourselves as a body, then we're not seeing church as God sees church. Now, in this sort of pandemic time, on the whole, it's quite hard for me to use visual aids. But God, in his kindness, has given each one of us a visual aid for this. Okay, so you've got your own body. So what I'd like you to do is just take a look at your arm and your hand. Just have a look at your arm and your hand. Hold it up. And what I want you to notice is how they are very much joined together. Can you see that? Just see your arm and your hand. They're very much joined together. I hope that is the case. If they're not, then maybe see if you can have a chat with Phil afterwards. But they're joined together, aren't they? Same goes for, like, on your face, your nose and your ears and your eyes. They're all joined in your body. Together, they make up your body. Now, I'm sorry to labour what seems like a very, very simple point, but here's the point. If you're a Christian, the link between you and me and other members of our church is as strong and as close as the link between your hand and your arm and all the different parts of your body. So do you see, we can't think of ourselves as just individual believers. There's no such thing as a Christian who is separate from the body of Christ. We are united to one another. Now that is actually, it's a link that you share with Christians throughout the world. And perhaps you've had that lovely experience of going to a church in a different country and feeling that close bond with believers you've never met before. All Christians everywhere, and in every age in fact, are united as part of what's often called the universal church. But when the Bible speaks of Christians being the body of Christ, it's nearly always talking about the union between believers in the local church. And as we'll see, it's in the local church where our unity is principally to be expressed. In Christ, we, though many, form one body. And again, the question is, do we think like that? Do we live like that? So often we don't think like that. More often, I think that we think we're sort of connected with one another because we have a relationship with God in common. You know, if you meet someone else who's passionate about the same things you are, then you're going to feel a connection with them, aren't you? Could be music or motorcycles, could be board games or baking. You think, oh, actually, in our case, it's Jesus. We've got that in common. We've got a connection. And we're part of the same church, a really strong connection. But if we only think like that, we're still thinking as individuals who happen to have something in common. It's a bit like, so I'm a member of a tennis club, and I get on with most of the people there because we all like tennis, and we're in the same club. There's a real connection. But I would never say we're united as one body. But that is what is going on at church. We're not individuals who have something in common. We are members of one body. And that's part of why our normal practice is to gather together. Each week, we're expressing our unity as one body. So, doing church online, well, it may be a very good temporary provision for a time of crisis. We think it is. But it should never be normal church. We're a body, and the unity of the body is expressed as we meet together. So when, God willing, this is all over, and we can meet together, let's do it. We need to be together. Christians who don't go to church don't understand what church is. But it's not simply about being in the same place. It's also about how we relate to one another. We must do that. Because actually it is possible to come together and not do that. While we were figuring out our plans for Christmas services, we talked a little bit about the possibility of a drive-in carol service. It's quite a good creative solution that some used for these difficult times. But you might, I don't know if you're aware of this, but there really are drive-in churches that exist in normal times. So you drive your car in and you sort of tune in to the right frequency on your radio and you listen to the sermon and you sing the songs and you say the prayers and then you drive home, you know, encouraged in your faith, but all without the hassle and inconvenience of having to engage with other people. Now, hopefully that sounds just a little bit kind of crazy to you. But actually, it is possible for us to come to church, our church, with that sort of drive-in mentality. You know, come along, turn up, come along, enjoy the sermon and the songs and the prayers, and then head off without relating to the others around us. And again, when we do that, we're forgetting what church is. We're a body. We're united. We're profoundly united with each other. And in fact, Paul goes further. Did you see verse 5, our key verse? And each member belongs to all the others. Each member belongs to all the others. Now that is both wonderful and challenging. It's wonderful because all of us have a great desire to belong, to have somewhere where we are known and accepted and loved and valued, somewhere where we have a role, where we can be ourselves. Now, the reason that we have that desire is because God has made us to belong. He's made us for relationship, to be together with him and one another. And church should be a brilliant expression of that. But it's also challenging, isn't it? Because belonging to one another entails being tied together. We have responsibilities towards one another. And what's more, we don't get to pick and choose those with whom we're united. See verse 5 again, each member belongs to all the others. Now that's really challenging, isn't it? You know, I can't think, I don't relate to that person because I'm united to them. You know, we might be very different. You know, I'm a hand and they're a foot. And in my opinion, they might be a bit of a pain in the neck. But actually, it's a bit like your own body. If you have a pain in the neck, you can't say, well, I don't have to worry about that. It's not part of my body. We're profoundly united. We belong to one another. We have to relate. So what are the implications of this for the way that we think about church and approach church? Well, Paul says lots in this passage, more than we can cover now. But three headlines. First, don't think too much of yourself. Don't think too much of yourself. Verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. Now, the faith that Paul is talking about isn't different levels of faith that different people have. Rather, it is the faith that is common to all Christians, faith in Christ, through which we've received God's amazing mercy. So he's saying, in the light of that faith, in the light of the gospel, which tells us that we're all sinners saved by God's grace and mercy, don't think too much of yourself. Think of yourself rightly. In particular, as it flows on, think of yourself knowing you're members of the same body. Don't think too much of yourself. You're part of the same body. Now, this is kind of countercultural, isn't it? If you're a member of just about any other club or society, you'll know there's nearly always a sense of who's more important than who. You know, there are those on the inside and those who are not. We very naturally evolve into some kind of pecking order, and many of us would like to think of ourselves, or at least would like to be, a bit higher up the pecking order, looking down on others. It comes very naturally to us, whether it's because of our gifts or our personality, our experience, our background, our politics, or how long we've been around, or whatever it might be. But there's no place for that in the church, because we're united. We belong to one another. Don't think too much of yourself. Second, use your gifts to serve one another. Use your gifts to serve one another. As Paul continues, we clearly see how thinking rightly about church can't help but change our actions. So first, in the way that we'll want to serve each other. If we're united and we belong to others in the church family, we'll do all we can to serve. Now, the sort of analogy with our own bodies that Paul uses is helpful here, because as well as highlighting our unity, it acknowledges our different roles. You know, our bodies need the different contributions of hands and feet and eyes and ears and so on. Well, in the same way, the body of the church needs its different members to play their part in the body of the church. So Paul says, verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Now, I'm not going to go into all of those individual examples, but just notice the main point. Whatever your gifts are, use them. Use them. Now, it might take a bit of reflection on your part to work out what your gifts are, how to serve. Often it's good to do that with others who know you. They might be better at sort of seeing areas that God could use you, be a good fit for you and who you are and your gifts. It's usually good to speak to church leaders about the kind of needs and opportunities to serve. But the principle is clear, isn't it? Play your part. It's often said that the church is like a ship where everyone is part of the crew. It's not a cruise ship. There should be no passengers. We're all on the crew. So what does it mean for you to fulfill your role? But again, do you see, this all flows out of our understanding of what church is. If we think as individuals, well, we'll only serve if it suits us or if we haven't got something better to do. But if we remember we're part of a body, we belong to one another, then we'll play our part. Use your gifts to serve one another. And then thirdly, be devoted to one another in love. I'm quoting verse 10 there, which is a good summary of a sort of cluster of instructions up to verse 13. Literally, it's be devoted to one another in brotherly love, or you might say family love. So if the previous verses were about serving one another and playing our part, these verses are about loving one another. Being part of a church isn't just about doing your duty and doing it well. It's about loving our brothers and sisters in Christ with whom we are united. Now, there's lots to chew over in these verses as they sort of flesh out what Christian love looks like. You know, that love should be sincere, Paul says, never pretending with one another. It should be godly, it should be humble, it should be heartfelt and patient and prayerful and practical. It would be worth, I think, looking through, praying through this list, asking that the Lord would grow this kind of devotion to one another. It's a beautiful picture of what a church should be. But once again, it'll only happen if we understand what church is, if we recognize that we're part of one body and we belong to one another. As we mourn the loss of John Wall this week, we can really give thanks that he so clearly displayed this kind of understanding about church. Just great memories of him well into old age, sort of passing him slowly, sort of cycling to church in the evening, making every effort to be with his brothers and sisters. And over the years, he really played his part, serving in youth work, leading our prayers, contacting and encouraging mission partners, always an encouraging word for anyone he spoke to. He's clearly someone who saw himself as part of a body and playing his part. But the question I want us to leave with is, well, what will that mean for us to live this out, both now and as life returns to normal? It would be easy now to think, well, we can't do this. But if we have the right mindset, if we understand we're a body and we belong to each other, there will be things we can do. Let's consider how we can express our devotion to one another while we're in this kind of lockdown time. Certainly, it will mean reaching out to one another and being in touch. I was very encouraged this week. I was speaking to one of our older members and we were chatting about the church family, speaking about Val and how she's in hospital. And he said, I call Val once a fortnight. I thought, that's great. You know, you're thinking church family and reaching out even through this difficult time. Might be good for all of us to think, actually, are there one or two people who I could be reaching out to in the church family through this time? It means making the most of opportunities like our Zoom coffees and any points of connection. Let's make the most of them, expressing that unity. But then let's also be praying for that happy day when we can once again all meet together as normal. We don't know how long it'll be, but when we can, wouldn't it be great to pray that we'd have a really clear sense of being one body united in Christ, that we'd long to serve one another and express that love for one another as well. We'll need God's help to do that, but let's pray that he'd help us. Let's pray now. In Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Our Father, we praise you for what you do as we come to you, that we are blessed as we're united in Jesus, but then you unite us together. And we pray, Father, that you'd help us to enjoy all of the blessings and benefits that come with being united in that way. Forgive us, Lord, when we think only as individuals. But we pray that you would grow our love for one another and that you'd help us both now in this difficult time and then when we're able to meet regularly together again to enjoy that union, and that all of these things might bring praise and glory to you who've united us. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, our final song that we'll listen to now is based on another psalm, Psalm 133, another psalm that's about God's church and picks up actually on many of the themes that we've just been hearing about in the sermon. We are members of one body, and how good it is when we live that out together. Let's listen to this final song. Thank you again for joining us this morning. It's been great to see you. Please do stay in your seats until Emma gives you the nod to head out. Do avoid bunching at the door. Important to keep that 2 meter distancing going. And we do have to ask you to be on your way. We have to avoid mingling, be even more careful to avoid mingling as we leave. But it would be odd to completely ignore one another as people head to their car. So do take the opportunity to encourage one another as you walk that way. Let's pray together as we finish our time now. Now may the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, who never faints or grows weary, may this God increase and renew our strength so we can walk faithfully with him and go on walking faithfully with him this week and always. Amen.